First, thousands of workplaces across the U.S. haven't been reporting employee injuries and illnesses to the Occupational Safety and Health Administration, which has been a requirement since 2016. It's according to documents obtained through legal action by Reveal after the Department of Labor had refused to release them. In addition to failures to report injuries, penalties have been small for companies that haven't complied. Jennifer Gollin is a reporter covering labor and corporate accountability for the Center for Investigative Reporting and Reveal. She broke the story. Jennifer, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you very much for having me, Rob.
Can you talk about the documents we're talking about, these things that came out of the Obama administration requiring this reporting on a workplace illness and injury?
Right. Well, starting with the 2016 data, under an Obama-era rule, larger workplaces were required to submit these so-called injury and illness records, these 300A forms, they're called. And these forms require employers to track the number of injuries and deaths that they have in a given year for each work site and then submit them to the government. So the idea was that the federal government could then start imposing, you know, a targeted enforcement program, and these records would inform that effort.
Right, because OSHA, Occupational Safety and Health Administration, you write, they've got a very small number of inspectors relative to the number of companies. These could be kind of red flags to tell them where they need to go, right?
That's right. So they just have 800, so there are just 862 federal inspectors covering millions of workplaces. That was as of January 1st of this year. So OSHA needs to use its resources really judiciously and target its enforcement in dangerous industries and workplaces using these records.
And part two of this is OSHA can use it, but if I understand this correctly, these are supposed to be publicly available documents. Do I have that right?
That's right. So under this Obama era rule, the idea was that all of this information would be posted on a public-facing website so people could go in, members of the public, workers themselves, and understand which workplaces were dangerous compared to industry averages and whether they were safe on the job each day. But that all changed after Trump was elected.
Right. So all these businesses are supposed to report. All of us are supposed to have access to it. What ended up happening?
Well, so after Donald Trump was elected president, OSHA officials said that while employers still had to report that information, they wouldn't make that data public. So I had filed a Freedom of Information request requesting this data.
And it took a while. Talk us through that process.
It took a while. Initially, the agency refused to provide this data to us. And they cited law enforcement exemptions, saying that this information would be used in the course of investigations and so on. So we filed a lawsuit as a result to get a hold of these documents.
And what did you find ultimately when you finally were able to see these documents? Were companies actually filing like they were supposed to?
Well, we found that a lot of companies actually didn't even submit their data. So we got a full set of data for 2016 and some records for 2017. And we found that only about 60% of the establishments that were supposed to submit their 2016 data actually responded. So and the next 2 years weren't any better. Just in 2017 and 2018, less than half of the workplaces that were required to report actually did so.
Was there any kind of punishment, I guess, if companies didn't actually file these reports?
Only a tiny portion of employers that failed to submit these reports were actually penalized by OSHA. We requested this information, and as of the middle of last month, OSHA had only issued about 259 citations carrying fines of just over $127,000 to employers that failed to submit this data. So what this shows is that there's very few consequences for employers that fail to file.
Talking to Jennifer Gollin from the Center for Investigative Reporting and Reveal, talking about a requirement that many businesses submit these injury and illness forms to the federal government. Her finding, a lot of them don't, and there doesn't seem to be a lot of punishment for not doing this. Jennifer, in the results you were able to get access to from 2016 and those companies that did respond, what kind of things did we learn about these workplaces?
Well, what we learned is there are actually some very large Fortune 500 companies that failed to report this data. We found that Home Depot appeared to be missing entirely from the data, and only one establishment with 58 employees appeared for Boeing. So I think what this shows is that there's a real compliance issue that's stymieing this requirement that OSHA collects this data. And the problem with this is that it makes it difficult for the public to understand which workplaces are safe and which workplaces are putting their workers in danger. I worked with my colleague, Melissa Lewis, on the data analysis, and she went through and crunched the data under a tight deadline so we could turn the story around for the public. And basically, OSHA, until now, until the release of these records, has really left the public in the dark. There has been no way to assess which workplaces are safe.
If I'm an employee at one of these companies that's supposed to file this report, again, on injuries and illness and deaths for that matter on the job, am I supposed to have access to that? Can I get a look at it?
Yes. Under federal law, you are required, your employer is required to release these records to you if you request them. And they are, some employers have tried to only release a portion of the records for when the employee was employed by that worksite. But that's not part of the rules. As an employee, you have a right to request all of these files, these OSHA 300As, and understand how many injuries there are in that workplace and how many deaths. Really what this does is it allows workers and members of the public and researchers to calculate a rate for that worksite and understand whether how it compares to an overall industry rate for a particular industry.
Were you able to get any reports from employees at companies directly and compare and contrast with what ended up coming through to OSHA?
Well, this has been really central to some of Reveal's past reporting. A colleague of mine, Will Evans, has done some terrific groundbreaking work around injury records for some of Amazon's warehouses that he collected through current and former employees, showing that the injury rates for some of the sites that he looked at were above the industry average. He also has looked at Tesla's internal records. And I myself, previous to that, had looked at injury records that I obtained from various sources and FOIAs to show that a major Navy shipbuilder had altered a power tool, basically ignoring the manufacturer's warnings, and created what company executives themselves called a widowmaker that maimed and injured dozens of workers. So these records are absolutely instrumental for researchers, reporters, and members of the public and workers to use to assess whether work sites are actually complying with federal workplace safety standards and protecting their workers as they should.
One question that pops into my head is, are companies, even when they do report, using consistent standards? So if company A has lots of reported injuries and company B doesn't, does that mean company A is dangerous, or does it mean company A is diligent and they're actually filling out every incident and maybe company B isn't?
Well, there have been cases where companies are known not to report injuries, or they send people home, or say that it was an injury that didn't occur in the workplace. But this is a starting place, and it at least allows for members of the public to then go get more information on how companies are accounting for injuries and deaths and whether they're using a transparent and accurate approach when accounting for injuries and deaths on the job.
In our last minute or so, this is injuries and illness. Now, your reporting goes up to 2019. 2020, we've got COVID-19. Is this report something that could be, if people actually fill it out, a data source for the spread of COVID in the workplace?
Well, OSHA has failed so far to issue any specific standards that would limit infection among workers since the start of the pandemic. So while OSHA recently posted, in part as a result of our FOIA and that of other organizations, including Public Citizen, which filed a parallel suit for some of these OSHA 300A forms, OSHA recently posted data through 2018, but there's no 2019 data there. So that is something that we're looking for answers on, and we'd like to track down that data. I think it's important for members of the public, whether there is a specific standard relating to COVID or not, it's really important that the public have access to this information so they can start to have some of the fundamental data that they would need to then go and ask more questions.
Jennifer, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you very much.
Jennifer Gollin is a reporter covering labor and corporate accountability for the Center for Investigative Reporting and Reveal. She talked with us about newly released documents that show thousands of employers around the country have been ignoring a rule that requires them to report workplace injuries to the U.S. Department of Labor.